In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Dear parishioners, this week, the fifth week after Easter, I would like to address some concerns over the COVID-19 virus. I understand everybody's sick of hearing about it, but it is good to approach this from the spiritual point of view. Especially because it is something which has permeated our lives. Even here in this very church, there's many fewer people here who otherwise would want to be here. And it's because of this virus. And there's people on both sides. It's worse than it sounds. It's not nearly as bad as I'm making it to seem. How are we supposed to respond? Right? People have these differing opinions. What are we supposed to make of it? What's the virtuous response in this situation? So I would like to discuss that, both sides, and how there can be mutual respect and charity among us. I've heard some disturbing stories of parishioners who didn't think that their parish was being careful enough, so they called the local health department. That's a rather disturbing thing. We should listen to St. Paul, who says when you have a disagreement with a fellow believer, don't go to the pagans. You go to the church. Go to your priest. Go to the bishop. That's the way to handle it. And you know, these things, some of these restrictions we might not be willing to do because the government asks us, but we'll do it because charity asks us, right? That should be our disposition. I'll do it out of love for people, not because I have to or you tell me to. So first of all, the virus. The virus is dangerous, right? It is dangerous, it is real, and it's not just a flu and it's not just a hoax. And there was actually a friend of mine in California who pointed out this virus has HIV-like qualities, meaning that it can attack the immune system. So that even if you are resistant now, a year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows? Right? There's a lot of unknowns about this virus. So it is dangerous. And right now, there are the elderly, there's the infirm, there's people with already upper respiratory problems, even in this parish. There's a young person in this parish who, if that person gets the flu, they have to go to the emergency room. So that family is very, very careful. And so it's good out of charity to realize, yes, there are people that need to be very, very cautious, that need to wear masks and everywhere. And then there are also those, and this is where our charity comes into play, those who are already stressed out as it is, right? The germaphobes, the hypochondriacs, the scrupulous. And they're very worried about this virus. There was a woman who was treated, and she was suffering more. This is a report from her doctor. This poor woman was suffering more because of the psychological distress of having the virus than she was suffering from the virus itself. Right? And there are people who have gone to the emergency room because the skin on their hands has been rubbed raw from washing it all the time. They've had to bandage their hands because they're so afraid of the virus. So there are those people who are very, very, we could say, it's a psychological problem, and we need to show charity towards those people. So it's important not to immediately think that somebody is overreacting. For what they perceive, that's the minimum, right? That's what they need to be doing. So be respectful of that. Now, on the other side, we have those who say the virus is a hoax, and I've mentioned it's not a hoax, but there are those who perhaps distrust what we're being said about the dangerousness of this virus, the infectivity and so on. And this is coming from virologists and doctors from every quarter. There's this idea that the only a person who works for the government can be an expert, right? There are experts who don't work for the government, and there's disagreement. So it's not unreasonable to be suspicious that there's something not quite right with this virus. Why is there seem to be a push to have this thing more contagious than it really seems? And so that's not to say that that's the truth, but that it's suspicious, and so people would not be wrong to be suspicious, to think, well, I don't think we need to take it that seriously because we're getting all this evidence. So there needs to be charity about that. And it really is a selfish attitude to think everybody else needs to conform to what I think the threat level is. I take it seriously, and therefore you're selfish because you don't take it seriously. On the other side, well, I've done my research and I don't think it's very serious at all, and you're selfish for trying to force me to put on masks and stuff that I don't want to have to wear. You're the one being selfish. This is precisely the environment and the kind of situation that calls for charity and mutual understanding. So it's not good to point fingers at people and say, you're irresponsible, whatever. Responsibility is when a person feels a high threat and doesn't respond. Like, this is the level of the threat, and I respond here because I'm lazy or irresponsible. If a person's threat level is here, that's a proper response. The problem is not a moral problem. They're not bad people. They need to be educated if indeed that's the problem. There needs to be rational discussion, and that's very hard. It's hard to find because it's hard to do, right? This is an emotional issue for people because it affects their health and the health of their loved ones. Emotions are high. So we have to be aware of that and be aware when talking to people, watch out for my own emotions, they don't get too high, and be charitable to others, perhaps when they get emotional about it. I guess the one question that I would like to see more discussed is, what is the level of response that should be taken, morally speaking, when there's an unknown threat? Do we have to take the highest level, or can we take moderated levels? Right? That is a discussion we're not hearing too much about. And that's a moral issue, right? Moral theology. So something, and I would like to go into really a true moral failing, which I see in the world, and that's of our modern media and even the modern culture. It is a culture that is really, it's not rational. Because it is not rational to instill in people a love of entertainment, a love of, we could say, fame or comfort, fostering selfishness and consumerism, fostering all these vices, and then to turn around and demand an incredible display of virtue. Suddenly put on hold all the consumerism we've been telling you, and now be completely charitable to other people and stay in your homes and be cheerful and happy. That is not rational. You get what you give. When you display and you foster in people vice, you're going to get vice. Virtue and charity is not produced on demand by people. That's not how human nature works. And the media has displayed bullying for years. If you disagree with homosexuality, for example, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're whatever. There's no rational discussion. They bully you into accepting the other side. If you don't agree with same-sex marriage or whatever, it's because you're uneducated or whatever it may be. You're delusional. Now, who's delusional? I'll tell you who's delusional is a media that says that you have to look at a 6-foot hulking human being with a 5 o'clock shadow and a square jaw and call that man a woman and congratulate him when he beats women's world records. He was born Bruce, but now he wants to be called Brittany. You have to pretend you believe he's a woman. That is not rational. Why are we expecting a delusional media to tell us the truth about reality? Now, that doesn't mean, a stopped clock is right twice a day. I'm not saying the media is not correct about this virus, but we shouldn't trust them. It is not unreasonable to be highly, highly skeptical of that media. And it's not enough, right? It's not enough to do the right thing, even if it is the right thing, what the media is doing, which is, alerting people about the virus. You have to do it the right way. And to hype up fear in people is not the right way to act. You ask people to be responsible. You present the facts, and you let people make their own decisions. It is entirely wrong. It is a false principle to think that, well, it's not good, maybe it's not the right thing to do, but we have to do it to get people to do the right thing. If we just ask people, they won't take all the proper measures. So we have to coerce them by fear and by panic, and then people will take the proper measures. That cannot be done. You may not do evil that good will result, and causing panic in people is not morally right. True virtue, too, we should remember, comes from God. right? Not the media and not the government. If the government says this is responsible, you say, look, who gave you the authority to define what responsibility is? Responsibility is a virtue, and what virtues have you shown? If we're responsible or not, it's because we adhere to the virtue of responsibility, not your definition. We don't have to believe everything we're told. We can think for ourselves, we can read the Bible for ourselves. And this is from an organization that has displayed as a corruption and vice and viciousness and self-interest, and they've lied. We've seen this for years and years and years. And suddenly, this whole institution of the media, the government, they're going to put behind all of that corruption, all of their selfishness and self-interestness, and the only thing they care about is our health. Nothing is more important to the government than my personal health and well-being. Not money, not power, not position. That's not important to the people up there. What's important is me personally. Right. Now this comes from not just me, but there's other sources that say that there is a great danger present in all this. Because when the media and the government will not engage in a rational discussion of the threat level, let's talk about the threat level, let's look at the same data and discuss, we don't think that the interpretation is correct. That's silenced and called misinformation, a disagreement with what is being said. Not the information itself, the conclusions from the information. That's what's being disagreed about, and that's what's being taken off of Facebook and YouTube and whatever. And the threat is, if you knew your science wasn't good enough and that a rational discussion of the facts would result in people realizing you are overreacting, you wouldn't engage in a rational discussion. You wouldn't want to look at the facts because the facts don't support what you're doing. And that is what is recognized at even the highest levels in the church. You may be aware of a letter Archbishop Bigandeau wrote about a week ago called An Appeal for the Church and the World. This is signed by 3 cardinals, 9 bishops, and 14 doctors, virologists, medical personnel. I encourage us all to read it, but here's an excerpt, an appeal for the church and for the world. Under the pretext of the COVID-19 epidemic, there are powers interested in creating panic among the world's population, with the sole aim of permanently imposing unacceptable restrictions on freedoms, of controlling people and tracking their movements. The imposition of these illiberal measures is a disturbing prelude to the realization of a world government beyond all control. Now this letter has been criticized and even accused of fostering conspiracy theory, but it is not a conspiracy theory when government leaders themselves say they want to introduce tracking measures. We could put a microchip in a vaccine and inject it into your bloodstream. That's being talked about. That's not a conspiracy theory. They're telling us they want to do this. They're already hiring. The CDC webpage has positions for people to be contact tracers, to call people who test positive and ask them, who have you been in contact with, so we can contact them. The government wants to track you down. They're telling us this. We want to know who you spoke to, who you live with, what you do, where you go, and where you worship. And it is a very small step to go from knowing where you go, who you talk to, what you do, to controlling where you go, who you talk to, what you do. Do we think the government wants to stop at just knowing what we do? The Washington State governor is saying, if you don't, telling the citizens of Washington State, here are the state's guidelines. What if we don't comply? Well, you're going to be quarantined in your home and you can't leave. What if I need to go to the pharmacy or the grocery store? We will send government agents to do that for you. This is called house arrest. By order of the governor, no due process, no nothing. How is this a conspiracy theory? Worse, not only are you going to be confined to your home, if we find that people in your house test positive, we will come and humanely remove them from your house and take them to a holding center where they'll be properly cared for. Yes, your children, if they test positive, people in this government have said, this is what we should do to be safe. Come and take your children. How is that a conspiracy theory? And this is the greater threat. People say, you know, if you're resisting, and this is what people are responding to, it's not like we don't want to be safe. You know, why are you trying to kill my grandmother? I am not trying to kill your grandmother. I don't believe the state has our best interests in mind. Furthermore, the government that says it cares so much about your grandmother wants to give her a lethal dose of morphine in the nursing home and call it euthanasia. Her quality of life is not good enough to keep living, so we'll just go ahead and end her suffering. It's a tragedy when somebody dies from COVID in a nursing home, but it's proper and responsible to kill that person with morphine because they're a drain on the economy. How's that for hypocrisy? They're shutting down the economy because these people might die. 5 years from now, when the government has all the control it wants, the nursing home populations are swept because they're a drain on the economy. Hypocrites. Far worse than losing the life of an individual in society is losing the life of society itself. My health is at stake. If you don't wear a mask, if you don't do exactly what the government tells you, my life and the life of my loved ones are at danger. Yes, and if we do exactly what the government tells us and give them all the control and responsibility, the life of this nation is at risk. The life of democracy, the life of freedom, because they will take it. No virus is worse than an out-of-control government. What is the death rate, the mortality rate of COVID? 3%? Look at the death rate of communism under Lenin or Stalin. Virus kills 1 million, Stalin kills 21 million. It's happened in the past, within the past 100 years. This is what is very dangerous. This is what the concern is about among people. It is not a lack of concern for our fellow man, it is a greater concern for our society, our shared republic. It used to be a republic that's trying to be turned into a phobiocracy, rule by fear. And the one thing that I think should disturb us most is the government is trying to take the place of God. Here's when you can worship. Here's how you can worship. In Canada, governor decides. People can go to their places of worship, but communion may not be distributed. Who is the state to be telling us this? Who is the state to be telling God what to do? You know, God, we decided this weekend you can get the proper worship that is your due, but you can't be united to humanity in Holy Communion. Sorry, it's just not safe. Who do they think they are? I'll tell you. They think they're Satan. He was the first one to try to take the place of God, and that backfired. Satan was cast into hell. And the same thing will happen to us if our government tries to take the place of God. This country will become a living hell. That frightens me far more than any virus. But I encourage us all to be respectful, respect each other's opinions, respect each other's decisions of their personal safety, maintain your distance. Stay 6 feet away if somebody's wearing a mask, be respectful. But do not be fearful. Even if you're immunocompromised, even if you are at risk from the virus, do not be fearful. Do not fear, only believe God is in control. Let us remember, ironically, the words of our government, in God we trust. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.